Thank you very much. Coming here this evening, for some reason I thought of a story I heard a number of years ago. It took place on a train traveling through Lincolnshire in the days when windows on trains still opened. Some of you will remember those days. There was a man in the compartment crumpling up bits of paper, throwing these out the window one at a time every few minutes. When the woman opposite asked why he was doing that, he replied, "To keep the elephants away." She said, "But there are no elephants in Lincolnshire," to which he responded, "And why do you think that might be?" He had a strategy, executed impeccably, and in his view, it was wholly successful. Not a bad story to keep in mind as we consider a business strategy for Scotland. It tells us that it's perhaps better to start with some evidence, which you're talking about, Nora. What are our assets, our challenges, our opportunities, what's happening in the world around us, and not simply rely on perceived wisdom. Because the world changes and perceived wisdom is typically from the past. As I'm surrounded by a panel of experts, I thought I'd take a more colloquial approach, drawing on some of the organizations I'm associated with to give texture to what it is a business might need. I think about some of the traditional hallmarks of a robust economic strategy. For a country, it's about a growing population, lots of startups, connectivity within and beyond its boundaries, good, relevant education. For business, it's not much different. Though I think we need to be thoughtful about the nature of that education, about what happens to those startups, and above all, about how all these elements link together. So a word first about education, and this is mainly a personal view. Of course, we need a skilled workforce, and that's a never-ending activity. Scotland's Economic and Social Forum, the Scottish Council for Development and Industry, points out that skills can be lost as well as gained, and they continually need to be honed, refined, and strengthened in the workplace. And I think that's absolutely right. But beyond skills, we also need a workforce that's educated well enough to be literate and numerate, one that knows how to communicate, how to tackle problems, how to question, and not just accept. We may teach business or entrepreneurialism, and that's fine, but to me that's not enough for a successful worker, whether in a large organization or someone who's self-employed or a serial entrepreneur. I think they also need to be able to think, to query, to make connections, to read and digest information, and be able to tease out what matters when much of it doesn't. And this is true starting at school level and going right on through a person's working life. Others may view the specifics of education differently, but a business strategy would surely lack heart if it failed to consider not just education, but education broadly alongside skills and competencies. And just as we need an educated workforce, educated in a way that leaves the mind open and agile, we also need a diverse workforce. And I'm talking about diversity widely taken. People who come from different backgrounds, from different countries, from different demographics, from different career routes. They can make a huge difference because they see things in the workplace through a different lens, keeping each other alert and imaginative and potentially more creative. A strategy for business which keeps the doors open for people to come and go is also essential. Next, I'll say something, in fact, quite a lot about startups and a little about bigger business as well. An environment that encourages and supports startups is important, but what happens to those startups also matters very much. I'm familiar with a number of examples in the area of sustainability, drawing on activity at the 2020 Climate Group. Our purpose is to rally Scotland's businesses around the idea that a thriving economy is a low-carbon, sustainable economy. So what does a sustainable economy mean in terms of new economic activity? Quite a lot. Because at its core, it means transformational change to business models and to the way industries operate. Companies, whatever their size, have no choice but to respond to growing regulatory and consumer pressures. The impact of climate change on business is fast becoming apparent through extreme environmental events on the one hand, and even more stringent regulation and investment constraints on the other. Businesses have to examine their own models, their markets, and their place within supply chains more critically now. As we decouple our economy from a carbon-intensive economic model, some businesses are finding opportunity. And that's especially true of the small and medium-sized businesses that are such a critical part of our economy here in Scotland. There are lots of examples where this is happening. I'll just mention a couple. Edinburgh-based Vegware develops, manufactures, and distributes a range of completely compostable food packaging. Local business, but they work with some of the largest contract caterers and distributors, government offices, NHS trusts, tourist attractions, food retailers, events organizers. And these organizations, the reason they do this is because these organizations now demand zero-waste solutions. Vegware has grown 901% over the last 5 years. It's the third fastest growing firm in Scotland, the 30th fastest in the UK, and the 160th fastest growing in Europe. And growth means jobs, and jobs mean increasing prosperity for society. Then there's John Laurie Limited, leading trader and exporter of mainly tubular metal for recycling and reuse. Their business model is based on the circular economy. Reuse what you have again and again. It's brought them great success in recent years, leading to 90 jobs here and around the world and trade with North America, Europe, with the Middle East and China. Not bad for a scrap metal merchant that started out in Aberdeen in the 1930s. Businesses like these will thrive, especially if transport and communications within the country work well. Logistics into and out of and all over Scotland, really important and should be part of a business strategy. And businesses like these will thrive if there are agencies and organizations which can provide support. I think of Entrepreneurial Scotland and the Scottish Innovation Centres, which do just that. I think also of the Edinburgh Centre for Carbon Innovation, which hosts the Climate Knowledge and Innovation Programme, the KIC, delivering support and funds to help good low-carbon business ideas get off the ground. And businesses like these will also thrive if there are large companies nearby who become their early customers or who put new requirements on them, who prompt innovation and change. So an environment which is attractive to larger businesses as well as sustaining small ones would be the best outcome, to my mind, of a business strategy because it would be supporting a whole market. As multinationals, Unilever, Marks & Spencer's, IKEA, many others reshape their own business models to prioritize energy and resource efficiency, they look at the environmental practices of suppliers and the products and services they have to offer. Apart from anything else, investors are urging them to do this. BlackRock recently asserted that investors can no longer ignore climate change. Regardless of belief or principle on the issue, every business is facing climate-related regulation and technological disruption. And it's not just big business, but all business that has to operate in this changing environment as it becomes more mainstream. And this is something on the side, but I mention it because it's a growing movement, the B Corp movement, where businesses sign up to rigorous measures of social and environmental impact alongside financial gain. This is gaining influence to some extent in this country and in many others. And their research shows that businesses which manage to B Corp analytics outperform those using traditional business models in terms of profit and growth. Maybe some of this has been a factor for Liberty British Aluminium in Fort William. It's the only remaining aluminium smelter in the UK and one of the greenest ones anywhere. As a result, that they have reformed and recast as a green business. They're thriving, trading internationally, and growing from Fort William. And then there's myalgae, using wastewater to grow microalgae that become feed for livestock, replacing traditional fish meal. Good for the cows, good for our fish stock, good for keeping our fresh water cleaner. And an example of the ultimate in the circular economy, reusing treated wastewater. And speaking of wastewater, it's one of our great natural resources, though we might not immediately think about it that way. But we have a lot of it, and Scottish Water has been making forays into turning wastewater into heat. A reminder that larger companies innovate as well as small ones. Scottish Water is using robots to travel through underground pipes and detect potential stresses and leaks. It saves digging them all up. Using drones, and I've actually held three different types of drones, to detect below the surface of the ground in the highlands where pipework might exist and where it can't be put. They turn to smaller firms to get this work done, helping these partners become more innovative themselves and thus more marketable, more successful. It's important that a business strategy keeps the doors open for larger businesses as well as smaller ones, because that helps make a market. Also because some would argue that to have a genuine impact economically, to make a tangible difference over time, small enterprises need to grow and become larger themselves, expanding their workforce, their footprint, their top line, their bottom line. Startups, no matter how many, only take you so far. Scotland has a wealth of universities for a country its size, some of them research universities and a number of them regularly spinning off new businesses and startups. Many of these grow out of the sphere of science and technology, and what works best in the sphere is that scientists can collaborate without borders, without artificial constraints. So business strategy should enable or enhance international research links among institutions and with industry. Take Edinburgh University as an example. It plays a leading role in the world of informatics and technology. It gave birth to Dolly the Sheep and the research behind the Higgs boson. Not only does the university spin off businesses, but the quality of its research attracts business, and these can be significant. Skyscanner was attracted to Scotland because of Edinburgh University's strengths. FanDuel, a fantasy sports company, grew out of an Edinburgh spin-off. Both are unicorns. Now, there are startups and there are startups. Unicorns are startups worth £1 billion. Business gazelles are defined as fast-growing companies increasing revenue at least 20% annually for 4 years, starting from a base of £1 million. That means they've doubled revenue over 4 years and typically have had a disproportionately positive impact on job creation. More jobs may lead to a growing population, one of the characteristics of a thriving national economy. So how does all this activity become molded into a business strategy for Scotland? A business strategy that may even lead to improved productivity, because increasing productivity at a national level should raise living standards for everyone. To me, it's all about linkages, about pulling various strands together, about aligning initiatives. Take international hubs. SCDI has proposed aligning international innovation and investment hubs in locations where we have a business presence as well, so that they strengthen each other. I'd like to see us link our digital energy, possibly transport strategies, so that they can do more together. We need to think about businesses as operating within an ecosystem and what we do to support it. Even if different agencies or departments deliver that support, it needs to be done as a collective. We need to think about education as being continuous through school and further and higher institutions into the workplace, right through an individual's working life. We need to think about the importance of the international element, and not in terms of separate blocks of inward investment or outward investment, but in terms of individuals, of research, collaborations, of investment and test sites and markets, with all of it flowing easily across borders. We need to think of education in terms of skills, and then beyond skills in terms of that ability to think, to judge, to adapt, and to imagine. We need to understand that a diverse workforce will help that to happen. We need to avoid the trap of thinking that what we were is what we are. We need to be driven by what we will be. We need to encourage our native industries and our local small businesses to look to the future, and encourage our government agencies and private sector organizations not just to work together, but to plan together. We need to support the startups, the gazelles, and the unicorns, knowing that when they interact with the big boys, with the elephants, there will be some success. And the elephants, well, we should never discourage them. Thank you very much.